Okay, welcome back to The Good, The Bad and The Natty. So, episode 13, it has been a while actually, just life's been, you know, I've been at school, Tom's been doing what he's doing.
just working with a bazillion clients and prepping them for a bazillion shows.
Yeah, that's right, it is.
Paying my taxes, which made me cry.
Yeah, you know what, that's why I actually have money, because I don't have to pay taxes.
So
that's kind of semi-related to what we're doing today then. So the fact that quite a few people have started prep, so we wanted to sort of touch on competition nutrition, and you know, myths, what, you know, good ways to set up a diet. Essentially, I know a lot of you will have coaches, but there's a lot of time where people may not have a coach, or if you're coaching yourself, or if you just want to learn a little bit more, it's always good to have a better understanding of nutrition as a whole.
If you want to coach yourself in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're not always going to have a coach. There's a lot of people I know that had a coach and just don't now, and they're kind of coaching themselves, and some people are doing all right. Some people probably would be doing better if they just had a little bit more knowledge, and I don't think there's that much knowledge out there. So.
There's knowledge out there and stuff like that. There's information, but I think the best information is talking to other individuals who are on a higher level and taking snippets from them. And as the more people you talk to and the more you understand, the more you sort of pick up little bits and bobs as you go through the bodybuilding scene. That's certainly how I picked up a lot of information when I first began. And I first started realizing that I didn't know everything and that I needed to learn a lot more from a lot of other people. So it's just a case of that, really, like a case of understanding how to actually diet for the shows and how to go about stuff. So I think the main topic the topic is competition nutrition. That's pretty much the name of the episode, isn't it? So we're going to go through how to diet for a show if you were doing it yourself, what sort of changes to expect with your physique and things, where to start, where to work your way to, how not to rush, when is the correct time to refeed or do a cheat meal, and also how to sort of finish the prep and obviously peak and things. So it's going to be quite a loaded one. We're not going to touch on the subjects. What do you think? We're going to touch on them quite briefly, aren't we? We're not going to
briefly, but give you the information. We're not going to waffle on.
Right. Well, I probably will.
Yeah, but, we probably will, to be honest. Yeah, I think
we're not going to waffle. That's like saying fucking.
We're not going to waffle. No. But I think in terms of nutrition, it's one of the things that's constantly evolving. Whereas training, for example. If you're, chopping and changing your training every week, you're never going to be able to tell. Like, training's one of them things where you just kind of got to go with something, stick with it, and then you'll see. But with nutrition, it's a constantly evolving thing. And, you know, maybe not in the off-season, but on prep, it's likely that changes will occur quite frequently, especially in the latter stages of a prep.
Yeah.
How would you, we'll start off with, how would you sort of begin a prep? What would you do transitioning from an off-season to a prep? Would you do like a clean-up phase and then go into a prep, or would you just go right into it?
So when people say that they tidy up their diet before they start a diet, basically it means that they started a diet early. It doesn't mean, you know what I mean, there is no cleanup phase really, in my opinion, unless your diet is so fucking shocking that you physically need but then you shouldn't be having a massively extended period of time before you go into the prep anyways, where you're actually eating a good amount of quality food, so your digestion's not fucking tanked when you walk into the prep. So realistically, when you start your prep, I can sit here and continuously and go, average person, you know, it varies massively, there's no average, you're just different, you know what I mean, like different individuals, whatever. I could sit here and do that, but let's just give people an example so that they've got something to roll off based on themselves. So if you had someone, let's use you, Caitlin, as an example. So you start prep, so off season, how many calories do you want at the moment?
Training day about 3,300, non-training day, I know, non-training day probably about 2,300-ish.
Okay, so you're about 1,000. So the first thing I would do, if I took that prep and I took that off-season diet, and then you were like, okay, where do I go from here? I would go. So the first thing I do is maybe take out 300 calories a day from your training day. So how many times a week are you training? Five.
Yeah, about five.
Okay, cool. So that's 1,500 calories across the course of a week. Yeah. 300. 1500 calories across the course of a week. Then what we would do is we would see how like you respond to that over the course of maybe a 3 week period. So then we would, you would look at you every single week, and if things were moving in the right direction, one with scale, two with how you were feeling as you know, like condition wise with how you feel and stuff. Remember, you're only light, so you won't, you're only small, so your body weight changes. If I lose 3 pounds in a week, that's the equivalent of you losing 0.8 pound in a week. That's the sort of changes we would look for. So we go, oh, I'm down 0.6 pound. I'm like, okay, cool, that's a big drop for you. So it's just slow and steady and everything like that. So the first thing that you would do if you're an individual like Caitlin around that sort of weight size, you know, whatever, you know, figure class, bikini class, whatever, you would probably do, you know, 300 calories out of your training day. Take that obviously from your fats, your carbohydrates, maybe avoid the going towards the protein as such. You know, one thing that I do actually do with clients occasionally, and Dr. Scott Stevenson actually does this, which is really cool. Joe was telling me about this, takes out fats and replaces them with less calories, but still some calories. So say we took out, like you wouldn't ever do this, but say you took out like 50 grams of fat per day out of someone's diet, right? So that's 450 calories. So you wouldn't do this. This is just an example. But like, say you took out 50 grams of fat out of someone's diet, you would then.
Okay, sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties. Yes.
Fucking connection being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right, where were we? Calories out. So you take your fat calories out from your fats and you would replace them with your protein. Not wholly, but say 450 calories out from fats, which is just not going to happen. But then you would replace that with, say, 150 calories from protein. And then that's the way he goes about some stuff there, which is kind of cool. I think that's kind of a good way to do things. Because you're using something like protein and carbohydrates have a greater effect on TEF, which is your thermic effect of food. So they have a greater TEF, sorry, thermic effect of the food. But fats don't have that effect. So you're replacing, realistically, you're creating a 300 calorie deficit there, which is cool. But you're also then putting in, you know, a food that's going to potentially help you chip away a bit more and burn a bit more fat. I remember seeing some old school diets ages ago where people were eating 500 or 600 grams of protein per day, which is just astronomical. And it was coming a lot, coming a lot from shakes and things like that. I imagine they'd be blowing their ass out every 5 minutes, which probably helped with the weight loss.
I can only imagine. That's mad. 500 to 600 grams. Have you ever eaten that much in a day?
Another old school sort of myth around DC dog crap training. He was Dante Trudell was big on very, very, very high protein because of the amount of load and the recovery that was needed. And his theory, he came up with a lot of theories. His theory is very much that you needed to have a massive amount of protein to simply recover from the brutal DC training method that he instilled, which was obviously very tough. He was on to a few things, but I think it was quite excessive amount of that protein. No one really needs that much,
Jack Thorburn style.
What's he? How much does he have?
I don't know. He has like 350 grams a day.
He doesn't eat that much. He needs to stop training and crying before his deadlift is what he needs to do.
Nasty.
He knows I'm taking the piss.
He probably won't listen to this anyway. But the thing is, I fully will cry if I don't manage to pull 150.
Cry after your deadlift, not before. Right. Anyway, enough bitching. Back to what we're talking about. So food wise, okay. So realistically, we were talking about like a drop at the start, weren't we? So if you have 300 calories per day off a 3,300 calorie diet, so that would be the first step. Then you would run that down for maybe 3 weeks or so, and then maybe. After that, then you would take another 200 out of the training day. And what I would do is I would start leveling out the non-training and training days until they were around the same sort of thing. And then obviously when they get to around that sort of level, then start pulling away from the non-training day a bit more because you're already going to be hungrier on those days anyway. So, I mean, who cares? At that point with nutrition, I mean, realistically, so what are your macro splits? What's your macro split at the moment, like roughly?
It's about 180 protein.
Okay.
About 60 to 70 grams of fat. And probably like 400 carbs, something like that. I'm not 100% sure, so I presume it's like 50% carbs. And then
that's 2860 calories. You're on way more than that.
I follow a meal plan. I don't know.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay, so no, that's fine. We can work with that. It's fine. So you would you would actually probably, your next step would be to work yourself down to the macros you just gave me.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally what I would have someone do next. So that's the best way to go about it. So you would work your way down to that. So 2,800, 2,700, whatever, work your way down along to that sort of line. So with dieting, the main process and the main thing to remember is that as your body gets lighter, your body requires more of a deficit, obviously, to dig down into that level of body fat and, you know, whatever. Your body is very obviously reluctant to let go. Now, that happens due to metabolic processes, hormonal processes, you know, etc. I mean, one thing that people do at the start of a prep, which is, I find really funny, is that they start smashing cardio. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean a step count. I mean, a step count throughout the day is not a cardio, it's an expenditure calculation throughout the day. It's to work out how much you're moving around and how much you would burn on a normal daily sort of average, and then you base your food around that. Whereas when people start adding cardio very, very early on to a prep, okay, and I don't mean within the first few weeks. Some people, yeah, sure, it's fine. If they're quick at getting in shape, put the cardio in, get them in shape quick, and then they're ready, they're sound, okay? Yeah. So Jackson, for example, is one person who puts, I hope he puts cardio in quickly. But other people, so people who are doing a long 20-week prep, remember this, okay? So what happens when you start, if you're a runner and you start going for running, yeah, you go for jogs and you're going to do that, what happens to you? You get fitter. Okay, you get fitter, therefore your body becomes more efficient at managing the stress and managing the expenditure that you're doing by burning less so that it can simply sustain whilst it's moving. It gets better and more efficient at doing that. Okay, so you get, so then you're simply getting fitter as you get to the back end of the program. You might be tired, but you are actually finding that cardio a lot easier. Okay, mentally it's a struggle, and yes, you're getting bored and whatever, but you know, when people are going excessive with cardio from day one, where the fuck do you go from there? That's one thing that people need to have as well. So if you're going from, like, if you're starting on your prep and you're doing 45 minutes of cardio five times a week, where do you then go? Like, do you do 45 minutes twice per day, seven times a week?
Yeah.
Do you think an hour a day, twice per day? Hour in the morning, hour in the evening is what I mean, seven times a week. Like, where do you go? Like, how do you work your way up?
Yeah.
I think people need to be remembering that cardio is a tool that will need to be used for most people on a prep, unless your expenditure is really high from your step count in the day, or you're just a genetic freak. But you also need to remember that your food is so much more important. That's why people would say bodybuilding is 70% food, 80% food, and the rest is just your training and nutrition recovery, whatever, training, supplementation, recovery, and everything like that. And it's more a case of, like, it's a case of, don't throw it in unless you're really getting to that point where your food's quite low and you don't really want to dig that food out any lower. So you're at the, you say, hypothetically, you're now halfway through your prep, right? You're on to, you're at the back end of a prep, yeah? You're like 8 weeks, yeah? You're on 2,000, let's say you're on 1,800 calories now. You really start on your training days and say 1,500 on any end training days. Mm. You're starting to really get tired, energy's low. You've started chipping away food every couple of weeks. Now is the point when you would chuck in the cardio. So that's what you would, then you would start looking at that sort of stuff and that expenditure. Okay, well, how many calories am I burning from a week? You know, through a week of that? Like, how am I feeling? How is this coming along? Does my physique look better? Do I look tighter? Is my weight dropping?
Yeah.
So the main thing, I mean, I'm going to let you talk in a minute. Obviously, I'm blabbering on. We said we wouldn't waffle. But with a lot of these things, now, leaving the cardio, going back to more sort of the dieting side, it's a case of doing it slow and steady, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's don't rush, don't use all your tools at once, but also remember that with food, you will have to dig in at some point, but it's all about the whole balancing act of the thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you a few times, it's going to take you a few times to get it right if you are prepping yourself. Nobody gets it right off the trot, but 100% off the trot. But it's more a case of just working along as you go and seeing how you actually are looking and how you're changing, and then just seeing, okay, well, I'm very, very flat. Do I need to pull more? Should I pull more fat, and so I can keep the carbs in around my training session, so my training sessions are better, so I can stay fuller? Should I start moving some carbs from this day to this day? It's one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's just being smart, being so smart with it. Like, and especially as you get more of a season competitor. Like, this time last year, I was probably on this amount of calories, but I was a lot fatter. But you need to get your calories really high in off-season. And obviously, you need to be able to, like, have a decent composition. But it's just being super smart with it, because if you're doing stupid stuff in off-season, like...
It's being smart with it. It's also a case of, like, looking at... being realistic, okay, that's what we should, I mean, that's what I'm saying, like, you should be realistic about your actual physique. Like, if you are looking at yourself 6 weeks out, 8 weeks out, and going, yeah, yeah, I look sick, when in reality, you aren't anywhere fucking close, yeah, which a lot of people do, they really big themselves up when they aren't there, okay, then someone who needs to have a little word with you and go, you need to be a bit more critical of yourself. But then again, there are people who are ready 12 weeks out and they're fucking skinned, they've burnt out everything, they've used all the tools, and they are going to be able to sustain the level that they're at all the way into the show. It's not going to happen. The body will tank and burn out. So it's a case of doing it in the absolute. So imagine it like, you know, when a ship comes into port, like comes in and it has to come in slow as fuck at the end.
Yeah.
Think of it like that. It's been fucking belting it for however long out there to get to the actual destination. When it comes to the end, when it comes to being like coming into the bay and everything like that, it has to go slow. Otherwise, if it rushes in, it'll get there and it'll tank everyone.
Yeah.
If it goes too slow, it won't get there in time.
No.
So it's a case of having that perfect sort of speed down into it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're ready 2 weeks out, that's usually a good sign, because then you can start very slowly backing off what you were doing before and bring your physique to life a bit more as you move in towards the show. If you go in flat, stringy, peeled and fucked, like, sure, you'll be conditioned, that's cool, but if you're fucked, you're fucked. One example, Hannah, who we know. Like, she had to back off massively then because she was shredded.
Yeah.
Like, Yana, she was telling me about it. She said she had to stop fucking moving about. She had to stop her step count.
She stopped doing cardio.
She
was just that lean. She was just
she would have just been racing through stuff like fuck at that point.
Yeah, it's like, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, she was running, like, high carb day after high carb day. And the thing is, that's good when, you know, the aim is shredded condition, but... It's
You've gone too far, and then you need to slow it down.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people will never get to.
Mm.
Like, a lot of women won't get to that level. I've seen people get to it before, and I've seen people get to it really fast. Actually, funny enough, I've got a bikini girl at the moment who's prepping, and I've literally upped her food every day week for the last like 3 weeks, and she's like still dropping. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like,
it's fine. Isn't it?
She's like, no, I don't want to up my food. And I'm like, eat your burger and fucking up your food the next day. Shut up. And she's like, yeah, okay, fine. And she's doing it, and she's cracking on now. She's good. She's really good. But she's But it's like, that's one thing to remember as well. But also the opposite happens, and people end up getting to 3 weeks out and having to rush. And that itself will not create a physique that's ideal, isn't it? So it's more a case of, with nutrition, it's that balancing act, isn't it, coming all the way down. So it's real slow, steady descent in towards a prep. And then at the end, when you're ready, you should be able to just hold that line at the bottom, shouldn't you?
That's why it's so hard for you to do it yourself. Because... the whole principle of a prep, you normally think, right, the closer you get to a show, the more you're going to have to dig, more cardio, lower calories.
Right.
And you look at yourself, you're going to think, most people who are good bodybuilders are overly critical, don't think they look good. They go, oh my God, I'm horrendous.
I need to lose more fat. And you're looking at them sometimes, and like good ones. Like, they've got striated glutes, dug out hamstrings and triceps. You know, lower back's got no fat on it. Their face looks like something out of a crack den. You know, they're absolutely peeled. Yeah, I've got about 3 more pounds to come off, 4 more pounds to come off. And I'm like, you fucking haven't, mate. Like, you're done.
Yeah,
you're
no.
Ready.
That's when it's so good to just have someone like, especially coaches that have seen this time and time again, it genuinely is a skill, being able to look at someone and go, right, you need this, this and this. It's a massive skill, and a lot of times you can't do that for yourself.
It's an objective eye, isn't it? Someone who's seeing it through a different perspective. You're seeing it through a mirrored glass or a fucked up glass. You're not seeing your physique how it truly looks, which is one of those things that, you know, it's just there, isn't it? But it's also like... There are those coaches out there, and I've seen some diet plans recently that made me go, what? Some American coaches, and they've got clients on like fucking 70 grams of carbs from like day one, and you just think to yourself, and the cardio just goes up and up and up every week, and I'm going, yeah, that'll work, but fuck me, it won't bring the best look. Mm-hmm. and it's way harder than it needs to be. Don't make it fucking difficult. Like, make it easy, but make it effective. That's like the best way to do it.
See, the thing is, we are saying stuff like, you know, this excessive dieting and cardio. At the end of the day, there's people that will happen, but what we're saying is not right from the get-go. Like, some people will have to go sub 1,000 calories, doing, you know, 1-2 hours.
Well, I spoke to Ballinger. We had Ashley on the other day, and Joe is obviously with us.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joe had to go down to 1,500 calories a day.
Which, for his size,
he's fucking 100 and whatever kg on stage.
And I think that's a big thing as well, especially with men. They think 1,500 calories? No, yeah. I'll just waste away.
It's needed. It's sometimes it's needed.
Take your ego away and just do it.
Yeah, I mean Ross was at 1,800 at the end.
And he's not a small guy.
He's a thick muscle.
Yeah, he's got a hell of a lot of muscle.
I've got Nick Anderson, the guy I'm working with at the moment, that's super heavy, 283 pounds, nearly in contest shape. He's going to be like 275, 278 on stage probably. Fucking 200 grams of carbs a day now.
Which for him, that's our weight.
This guy fucking incline barbell press is 240 kilo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a big dude, a strong big dude. And he requires a lot of food in his off-season to grow. So you will have to dig down at the end, but it's knowing the time when to dig down. Now, regarding macros, if we go back towards nutrition, we talk about food and stuff, and we dig in as well. This goes for enhanced guys and for enhanced girls as well. You know, and obviously natural bodybuilders, like women or men, whatever. Remember as well, hormones will play a massive, massive part in this. I'm not talking about just like steroids and things like that and whatever. Remember that sometimes, and this might sound a bit, I'm not promoting it at all, you know, I'm not saying it's a good thing to do, but if you do go down that route, drugs like T3 and clenbuterol and stuff like that, they aren't going to do the hard work for you, okay? But they are a tool that can be used as well for you know, enhanced bodybuilders that will simply create a deficit without actually having to do any more. So that's why they'd be better for the back end of a prep rather than fucking day one.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see people smashing fat burners from day one. It's the same principle as smashing cardio and the same principle as smashing like very, very low food from day one. Sure, it'll work, but is it going to create the best physique possible? No, it's not. If you save it for the back end of a prep when it's truly needed, one, you're going to do less damage to yourself by using smaller amounts towards the back end when you only need small amounts to get that last bit off. Two, as a money wise as well, you're going to save yourself a fuck ton of money as well, if it's like growth hormone and stuff that's expensive. But it's more a case of like, when you look at like, they're obviously, you know, we can look at all the studies and stuff in the world, but sometimes there's anecdote which you really need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And that would be that guys and girls who smash fat burners from day one have a really stringy physique on stage. Really stringy. I mean, like, really bad. And it's not a case of looking at that physique and going, oh my God, that's fucking amazing, this, that, and whatever. It's a case of, you know, like, And then another physique next to it who smashed fat burners going, oh, that physique's shit, that's where I was going with that. So you can't, like, it's more a case of, like, you're not going to be at your best if you do cane them from day one.
Yeah.
And you're, I mean, fuck, like, low food going in towards a prep. Like, we're using you as an example. Imagine if you started on 1,500 calories from the start of your prep. Your lifts would go to fucking shit.
Yeah.
Your muscle would piss away. You'd be a fucking string bean through. Your legs would be fucking shit. They'd be worse than last time. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you weren't happy. Your legs didn't come in. But your back would still stay full because it's a genetically strong body part. So then you're then throwing off a physique and a shape. So it's more, and then at that point, where the fuck do you go from there? So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just play the balancing act, know when to dig, know when to push, know when carbohydrates and foods need to come out, but also don't, fats and things like that and whatever, but also don't be too slow, but also don't rush to get there. I think that's the main point that we're getting at. I think we're repeating ourselves a lot, you know.
Yeah, but refeeds
to cover. Oh, let's cover refeeds. Ooh, I love a good refeed. Refeeds,
interesting. Fun fact, I think I had one refeed.
One a day. I think you had one a day.
I had one refeed.
One burger and fries every day.
But no, actually, Anya, you know, bikini, dark hair, every night going up to all of her shows pretty much in the back end of the year, she had like a burger and chips.
Yeah, I've had people do that.
It's mad. It shows so many people are different. Like, I was not lean enough to warrant a refeed. Prep in terms of weight was linear. I had it once, but you know that's what it is. Some people need loads, especially if you're lean. If you're lean, you're gonna need more than if you're not.
Yeah. One of the funny ones was Sarah, so she had gut issues, so we couldn't use junk and stuff to fill her out, because she'd just bloat up and she wouldn't be able to eat properly for a day afterwards, and it'd fuck her prep. So so we used to use Haribo because it digested really well. So she had a bag of Haribo pretty much for about three nights in a row going into the show, going in towards the British finals. I remember her sending me pictures after the first bag. She like smashed it off and she was like, I look fucking ridiculous. She got her girlfriend to send pictures, and I was like, "That is." Damn. I almost dropped. Like, you know when you get like a message that you didn't expect to come through, like, and you go, "Oh god, like fuck!" Like it was like that. I was like standing, and I went, "Oh my fucking!" I like went all funny. I was like, "Oh, it's amazing."
Have you ever done that with a client before?
Huh?
Have you ever done that with a client before? That approach.
He's like, using junk. Yeah, stuff like that. Sorbet and things like that. Post workout, tub of sorbet post workout.
Yeah.
Going in towards the show, the last three training sessions going in, I'll be like, I send those again. Send me pictures. I'm like, you look fucking flat. Like, put some food in.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna fill out in time. There's I'm not giving away all my secrets, but there's ways to go about it without, like, some people's metabolisms require junk to fill out.
Mm.
Most people, they just require a top up of food.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that comes to the topic of flatness. Coach, I'm flat.
Mate, can I get a flat to get lean?
I'm flat. I need a refeed. I don't think... I don't...
Yeah, I hear that every week.
What?
I hear that every week. I'm really flat.
No. It's fine. I don't know. Personally, I would never say to my coach, I feel flat. Because, it doesn't matter. It's your coach that will tell you if you're flat. Like, yeah. And then...
If your training's going down the crapper, that's when you're really flat,
yeah.
And that's when your energy's fucking tanked. And then you can, and then at that point you go, you'll talk to the coach and go, look, my training's going down the shitter. Do I need to do anything about it, or should I just stick it out? And that's the best way to go about it. If you start throwing in willy-nilly refeeds all the time, you're not going to get in shape. That's just stupid. It's energy expenditure at the end of the day. Refeeds are there for psychological, they're there for filling up muscles like glycogen stores when they're fucking gone, and then you physically need them to get through the next few workouts.
Mm-hmm.
They're there for, you know, when the physique needs a bit of a boost because it looks like a fucking sack of shit. It's also, you know, like two to three day refeeds, do those as well with some people. That's obviously more beneficial for sort of getting, you know, like metabolic processes back sort of on track again. I mean, obviously in a deficit for long enough, your thyroid will simply slow down to compensate. So using a surplus of calories for 3 days, not a diet break. I hate that word, diet break. People are like, oh, I do a week off my diet and then I get back on it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, you could have just done like a 2 day refeed and then got back on it, you fucking pussy.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I think there's two different types of refeeds. I think there's one where you do it purely for a cosmetic appearance. And I don't think that they can be 1 day refeeds. And then obviously you've got your metabolic one, which would normally be about
two,
because that's how long it normally takes, doesn't it? Like,
I mean, actually, do you know what? Going back to Joe Jeffrey, I mean, spoke to him about, he did one when he was dieting at some point, and he was like, yeah, I did a 3 day refeed and I lost weight. And I was like, oh shit, okay. Mm. So I'm helping him now for his show, and we were talking about that.
He's doing a show.
Oh, fuck, I dropped that bomb. No, another Joe. Right. Joe Stevenson.
Joe Stevenson. I like that guy.
Yeah, Joe Stevenson. Sorry, I got that mixed up. Anyway, yeah, no, so it was Joe Stevenson, and I figured that Joe Stevenson would need a junkier refeed and a bit of a fill up with a dirty meal and stuff.
Hmm.
And Dr. Scott Stevenson actually agreed on that one too, which was really cool. So.
Well,
or is the other way around? Dr. Scott suggested it, and then I was like, "Oh, that's cool."
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's go off that topic.
Yeah.
What else? Refeeds and stuff. Yeah, they're cool. I mean, use them when you need them. Don't abuse them. They're not needed all the time. Once a month, once every 3 weeks. As you get closer towards the show, you probably need to start doing them more frequently. It just depends on the type of body you are. If you run really, really, really flat towards the end, yeah, you will need to top up a bit more frequently, but you won't need the massive amount that you think you do. Fucking hell, carb it up as well. That's one topic to cover.
Oh,
bloody
crap, yeah. Of my 7 peak weeks.
Oh god!
Yeah, of my 7 peak weeks.
How stupid does that sound?
I know. No, but
it's like, you just go back and go, I probably could have done less shows.
Probably could. And someone actually asked me that. Someone was like, so how many shows have you done? And I was like, I've done 9. And they went, oh wow, that's a lot. And I was like, yeah, I did 7 last year. And they went, I was like, oh crap, yeah, I'm just.
And then you start realizing, like when you say it back.
And then I was like, no. what have I done? And then I was looking back at some pictures. I'll send you one afterwards. And I was like, oh no, it's really bad. But yeah, every single peak week I did out of seven was different. First one, I just wasn't in condition. So basically we just kept dieting. Sometimes you just
What was your first time?
PCA Manchester.
Oh yeah, I was there.
Yeah. Funnily enough, the week before, I sent some shots to Jan and actually looked really good. But then we just, I don't know, because I knew I wasn't lean enough, we just didn't really do anything. We didn't change anything. I just ran the same diet going into it, essentially, and then used like a couple of Rice Krispie square bars, you know, just to go into it. And then I did some where I had like six meals of cream of rice. And I don't know. I think I did quite a few shows and I looked different at probably about three or four of them. It's really weird, but
what
yeah.
What was your favourite look?
My favourite look was probably Nabba UK, which we actually didn't peak for. That's yeah. the photo that I put on my like on my Instagram. I liked that one. I liked the Nabba one and one of my UK UP shows.
Nabba England.
Yeah, quite like that one. I was very full at that. Not really lean, but full.
Your colour looked better there.
Yeah, well, it's funny that I didn't like any of the PCA looks that I brought, isn't it? Yeah.
The ones that you really cared about.
Yeah, the ones that I really wanted to do well in. Oh, well.
No, you did good at middens.
Could have been better.
Anyway.
But yeah, peak weeks. Change all the time. And have you found that working with clients that you've done shows with previously, like, have you, obviously, you'll know what they did last time they peaked.
Yeah.
And then you've come to another one. Have you had to do different stuff?
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, so I'll pluck some names out of the ones that I've worked with, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
Okay, Jackson. I don't carve him up. There's no point.
Okay.
Don't call it. He stays full no matter what you do, so it doesn't matter. He's got black metics, so you don't need to bother with that. So I give him a burger, no fries, no nothing. A burger on top of his normal meals the night before, and then if we didn't bother with that, or because he's doing whatever, or if we send pictures and I'm like, no, you don't really need it, then he'll just do a burger on the day about an hour and a half before the show.
Okay.
No fries, no nothing, bit of ketchup on the burger, and that'll be it. That's what we did last time. Doesn't need it. There's no point. There's no point risking him filling up with a bunch of food and it just won't work for him. There's no point. Chris Big Beard, Chris Swan, Junk Load the night before.
Okay.
And then Diazide with that as well, that he takes on his own. I did not tell him to do that at all. I am not a doctor. that worked really, really well. We carved up normally, actually, towards his first one. Then he did a second show, and we did the Junk Load, and the Junk Load worked better.
Nice.
So we just Junk Load him. He's got his big, tall, big frame. Metabolism runs through food really well.
Yeah.
You know, it just worked perfectly. Glute stayed straight. It didn't get soft anywhere from the junk. It was worked perfectly. Let me think of something else. Someone else. Molly. Okay, totally different every time.
Yeah, cool. Right.
PCA, Muscle Talk. She wasn't ready, so we just basically ran in and said, fuck it, just get the British qualification. Did that, then fucked off, then got back on the prep a few weeks later. Yeah. We did no peak for that really at all. Maybe a few extra carbs. And then for the British, like, fuck me, I loaded her up like fucking crazy. She had like 500 gram of carb, then 300 gram of carb, and then 300 gram, something like that, along those lines. And then Diazide as well, which she took on her own and did not tell her to do that. And she looked dry as fuck.
Yeah, she looked so good.
So peeled. Mm-hmm. It was the best look ever. I was like, that is the best you've ever looked. We're going to do this again next time. Like it varies, like, with different people. Like, my standard procedure now is to load them a bit more at the start of the week, rather than close towards the show, unless they've got their metabolism, which just races through shit, and then you have to fill them up a little bit closer towards the comp. if you fill them at the start of the week, at least then you can toggle it based on how the week's going and just bring them in full. And that way they're a bit more rested going in as well, because you've backed off expenditure, you know, things like that. So what I would suggest for people doing it themselves is that's actually a really safe approach to doing it. So like, say you're training in the last week, you're doing 3 days of training. Yeah. Start carbing up around those days. Start putting, like, you know, say you're on 150 gram of carb at the end, to go up to just try 300 on the first day on the Monday. See how you look the next day. Do I look good? Have I smoothed over? If you smoothed over, go back to your normal diet and just run your normal diet in. Yeah. If you haven't smoothed over at all, and you don't look full or anything, nothing's happened, do another 300 or do 400 that next day. Mm. See how you look the next day on the Wednesday or something like that going into towards comp. Do you look any better? Yeah, okay, cool. So maybe a little bit more, and then maybe like toggle like 200 that day. And then do you look any better the next day? Yeah, I look the best I've looked. Okay, cool. Now just hold that look by just going back to your normal diet all the way in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then fine. If you start flattening out again 2 days later, just put in the tiny, like a smidge more. Or maybe put the fats in to slow everything down at that point. If you in fats on your diet, then you put in 10 gram of fat with every meal, run that all the way in, and a bit of protein or whatever, you'll hold your look pretty well if you have the right sort of body type to do that.
It's
just like toggling it, isn't it, as well? Yeah. But go on, body types.
Yeah, so in terms of fats, so what is it that the fats do? They kind of, do they slow everything down?
Well, fats will slow down the digestion and the absorption of food to some degree, but it's, you've got intramuscular triglycerides as well. Do you know much about that? Like, because they'll work as like an energy source within the actual muscle.
Does that affect how you hold water as well?
Well, you can't hold water with fats, can you? They don't retain fluid.
Oh, yeah, hydrophobic.
Is that right?
Hydrophobic,
We'll stick with that. I did fat loading for my last show.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Did 100 gram of fat every day for 3 days going in.
Oh, and was that your best look?
Yeah, that was the best. No, my body fat could have been lower, but I was full and my gut wasn't blown out from loads of carbs, because my gut's terrible because of my abs at the front with the scar tissue. I can't hold my abs in very well when I'm really full. The best way for me to do it is to fat load.
Yeah.
Pretty much of what now. I would carb at the start of the week. I would do like two higher carb days, and then my diet at that point was probably like still like 300 gram of carb a day. Yeah. So I would do like maybe 400, 450 on the Monday, same again on the Tuesday, and then I would just go down to like just fats and protein and a smidge of carbs all the way in.
Yeah, perfectly. Yeah, yeah. When you get to a peak week, there's going to be maybe two or three things. You're either going to be absolutely burning through carbs, and in that case, you know, that's amazing, go for it, keep running them. You're not going to need anything, or you're going to need like just a moderate amount, nothing crazy. Like there's not really going to be an in between, and then other than that, it's just playing around with stuff. You're not going to get your first peak right. You will never get a peak right really until until you've probably done it three or four times, I'd say.
This is the thing. That's probably, I mean, realistically, if you're going to hire a coach and you want to do everything yourself, but you still don't want to fuck your comp, right? And you're in good shape at the end, for God, just hire someone 10 days out. Just hire someone good 10 days out, and they can watch you every single day. Like, pay the fee that you need to pay and go, look, like, I want to peak perfectly. Like, this is what I've been doing. This is what I eat. This is all. Give them a big fucking rundown of what you've been doing the whole time. Anything you've noticed. That would be the time to hire one. But then again, if you are doing it yourself, be honest with yourself about how you look. Like, if you are full and you are ready, don't push it. That's the worst thing. Don't fucking spill. Because once you've put, you can always put more food in. You can't take food out once it's gone in.
Yeah.
You start carbing up on 1,000 gram of carb and you look fucking sick the day after or something like that. Great. Don't fucking do 1,000 more. Do fucking go back to 200, what you're on before, and just ride it out. Yeah, taper it down into that week, into the last few days and towards it. Yeah, don't fucking smash that. You know what I mean? Because that's how you spill. And once you've spilled, you aren't going to pull it back unless you diuretic the crap out of yourself. And even then, you're probably not going to do yourself any justice, because you'll either come in flat or you'll end up like a weird combo of like your muscles are flat, but you're still holding water, which will just look like shit on stage.
Mm. So also, it won't really be good for your health, will it?
Oh, well, that too, but it's bodybuilding. We're all going to die young.
Preach, sister. Yeah, no, that's a good one. I think there's people who ask, is it better to spill over slightly or come in flat? Like,
flat every single time.
Yeah,
it's
not even a question. Like
flat is fine, fat is not. Coming into turning up like a fatty bombastic on stage is just fucking, what's the point in even dieting for the show?
If you're just going to reverse it in the last few days.
If you're coming skin, right, if you're flat, you just look like a smaller version of yourself. Like, that's fine. Like, that's not a big deal. If you're striated to shit, like, you're fucking
glutes are like marble. You still get commended.
Yeah, massively. Yeah, well, judges don't get smooth and go, oh, but he's really full, that's good. They just look at you and they just go, you haven't dieted, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
One of them. It's just got to be careful with stuff like that, haven't you? I think that for peaking, it's more a case of like learn how your body works. And if it is your first time doing it, just play it fucking safe and come in flat if you have to.
Yeah.
Don't try and load yourself up like a fucking. You might be starving, hungry at the end, and all that's going through your head is I just want food, I want carbs. But don't. I mean, fuck me. Like I've heard of fucking bikini girls thinking that they need fucking 800 gram of carb, 900 gram of carb to carb up, and I'm going, well, you haven't got any fucking muscle. Like,
yeah.
What are you on about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have, but like you're not like enough to warrant that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And do you know one thing as well, Kate? This is interesting. You know, people change their fucking training and cardio and stuff going in.
Oh, I know.
Just taper it down. Just back off slightly.
Maybe don't go to failure.
Yeah, don't go to failure. Back off a bit. Loosen up. Don't really train like a fucking psychopath. Like, all the hard work's done at that point, really. You can't really, you know, like, 3 more sessions isn't going to turn you from fucking, you know, some you know, average first-time bodybuilder to Phil Heath. So, yeah. What the heck is it going to, you know what I mean? Don't be mental. It's hard to, psychologically, but just back off, because at that point, you're more likely to fucking injure yourself.
Yeah, I think the overriding thing of a peak week is what you look like 1 week out, you're probably gonna look like the next, like after a week. Like if at the end of the day, if your physique's good enough, it don't matter what you do, really.
Oh, that's a good one. Ross, what I did for Ross when I called him up. You're like, this is brilliant. Fucking really simple. So he competed on the Saturday, yeah?
Yeah.
He's got a GI issue. We can't load him close to the day. He bloats up. Wednesday, gave him a burger and fries for last meal. Thursday, added in like maybe like double his normal carb intake. Friday, nothing. No, the show would have been on a Sunday. Friday, back to normal diet. Saturday, back to normal diet. Sunday, compete. That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, and on the day of the show, meal one was like cream of rice. Meal two was like some rice cakes. Meal three was a baked potato with a few bites of chicken. And then he didn't eat for about 2 hours, 3 hours before he got on stage because he didn't want his gut to be blown out. Best look he's ever produced. Won the Welsh, won the overall.
Yeah.
Like, fucking lights out, game over. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was like one of them. You know, I mean, he's an extreme example, but people don't need these crazy peaks that they think they do. Mm. Whereas, you know, a lot of people go in towards shows with a very, very funny expectation. You know, people go like, oh my God, my metabolism is so fast, I just race through everything. Oh my God. That doesn't mean that your digestion can cope with that many fucking grams of carbs. You can't burn through it like that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of leads on to sources of carbs in a peak week. Like, don't smash a pound of potatoes, please. Like, can you imagine? Like yes, use foods use foods that you've used throughout prep. And obviously a lot of people will opt for potatoes throughout the majority of prep because it's more satiating. But if you're going to double, triple, quadruple the amount of potatoes you're going to be eating, good Lord. Good Lord.
Your tummy is going to be bad. I think, that's a really good point as well, Caitlin, to be fair. Like, basically, run in on the foods that you've been carbing up on, just use slightly more of them. If you've also, one thing as well, like, you know, I talked about fat loading. Fuck me, don't try it if you haven't been eating fats towards the back end of your prep. I know some people go down very, very low with fat. Don't start adding in fats into the back end of your fucking prep. That's dumb. Like, if you start putting in fucking, you know, 10 grams of fat per meal from a fat source that you haven't had for 7 weeks, 8 weeks, your guts are not going to thank you at all. You're going to fucking get bunged up and you're not going to be able to shit properly. You're not going to be able to move anything through. It's just a terrible idea. If you've only been using carbohydrates and protein and your fats are down to like a trace amount, just carry on running in with that sort of food approach when you're through your peak week as well.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's one of those, isn't it? I mean, you obviously use the food sources that you would normally use. You don't need to start using like fast acting or this or sugary shit or whatever and then swap over back to potato. It doesn't matter, just use whatever, but just space it out nice and evenly as well.
Yeah absolutely. It's just don't change anything, really. Just don't change stuff like that. That's it. Just don't change it. You know, you're not gonna become a different person. Just keep things simple.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Right. Shall we leave it there?
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully, that has, you know, helped people that had any, you didn't really know what to do. I mean, I know a majority of you will probably have a coach, but it's I think overall, make sure that you start very early, like, because you're gonna need to diet. You always want more time, and just be smart. You're gonna want to make the smallest adjustments possible to make the biggest difference. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And don't take away stuff quickly, because then really quickly you'll have nowhere to go.
Okay, then can I? Who was it who I fucking ripped into earlier by accident?
Jack.
Yeah, no, I like Jack. Apologies, Jack. If you make it to the end of the podcast and you do listen to this, you're a very lovely guy, and it was very nice to meet you at the PCM.
No, did you see...
I apologise, but you did cry before a deadlift, which was kind of funny.
No, did you see what he's just put in his story? It's amazing. Someone asked, do you take into account sexual activity in your TDE? and he was amazed. Did you see it?
No.
And he put... since I've been tracking my calories and stuff on my Fitness Pal, I haven't partaken in any activities. And then he posted, you have now logged for 1,530 days. I was like, oh my God, that's 4 and a bit years. Go on, son. Yeah. I just thought that was funny. But yeah, actually, that's quite a good point. AJ was talking about this on his podcast.
Jack hasn't banged for 4 years.
Oh God, if anyone's got up to this point, they're gonna...
No wonder he cried before a deadlift. I'd fucking cry at everything at that point.
No, but that's actually a good point.
No, fair play, like, his discipline is fucking...
Oh my God, it's mad. Yeah.
Like, he's like, OCD to the nth degree, and, like, it shows, like, yeah, he'd beat me on stage, like, he'd beat me.
I think he'd beat... I really want him...
He'd beat a lot of drug doctors.
I know, that's what I want, I really want him... to do like a NABBA or a PCA show.
I think he's done NABBA before.
Yeah, he did NABBA and he won it, as far as I'm aware.
No surprise. So did I drop anyone else in shit? I've got to do my genuine apologies at the end because I don't mean to do...
No.
Just Joe Stevenson.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
He's going to have a right go at me for that. He's like, yeah, I was keeping that secret, Tom, you fucking dick. Like, so sorry, Joe Stevenson.
Sorry, Joe. Right, we'll end this here and I will... I'll see you soon, guys. Thank you. Bye.